Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Family Institute with Roger, and we've been talking about different ways to help family units stay together.
And good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. You're live on Freedom Talk Radio. Today I was just explaining that we're going to be looking into a bit more of what we were talking about on episode 2, and maybe I'll have a couple of good questions, or you probably know the questions already because they're kind of obvious.
Yeah, but you fire ahead.
Yeah, do you want to give a 2-minute recap of what we're talking about? Then that will jog my memory for the questions. I was particularly interested in, well, okay, then all that said, how are we actually going to then go to court to do it? That is kind of the main thing, as people and families.
Oh, absolutely. Look, this is a very well engineered trap, okay? Because clearly, you know, any parent, any spouse that loves their children, and you know they all do, would want to be able to educate them, care for them, protect them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay, so what used to happen was if one of the parents went off, they abandoned their family, or they, you know, for whatever reason, including adultery, they went off with somebody else. There was a law, and it was across the board, and it was called the restitution of conjugal rights. And that meant, because marriage is a public institution, you know, the marriage spouses, they receive benefits from the rest of the public by way of, you know, concessions and grants of some sort. So there is a public duty on spouses for their marriage, their family, to be stable. And clearly, there is a duty on spouses to their children that the family be stable. And so the law very simple. The law is very, very simple. The law penalised a spouse who destabilised the family, either by committing adultery or by desertion. And in fact, the first stage, what would happen, and you know, you ask this question, what does a spouse do if the other spouse runs off with the children or whatever, is that you would apply for the restitution of your conjugal rights. Now, your conjugal rights are to be, you know, in a married family where you're working jointly with the other spouse for the benefit of the family as a whole and the children. That means putting every other member of the family and the family as a unit before your own selfish wishes and needs. And you would apply for an order that the errant spouse was to return to those duties. Now, the law did not operate in such a way that if you got your order, that the police came out and arrested the spouse and dragged them back home in handcuffs, that the criminal law is not applicable. But what it meant was that you got your order from the court, you provided evidence that the other spouse had deserted their duties in some shape or form, and you got your order and you served that on the other spouse. Now, if having got that order, they didn't return with the children, who were considered to be, you know, in their unlawful possession, then you would then be able to declare that person, that spouse, officially in desertion. And that means that when a spouse is in desertion, they lose all their rights to the family and the family's assets, including the most precious of all, the children. So it's very straightforward. And there was a remedy for where one of the spouses destabilized the family, and the public had full support of that because it's in their interest to live in a stable society where people keep their promises. Since about the 1960s, the people who have gradually taken over control of Western society, you know, mostly Marxists, you know, communists in disguise, socialists, whatever. You know, I mean, there's good socialists and there's bad socialists, but these were bad socialists, Marxists, who basically set out in their manifesto to destroy the family and replace the family with the state, so that there was no ability for people to support each other within the family unit and the extended family. Everyone had to be dependent on the state, so that basically the state decided everything about everybody's lives. You know, if people can remember back to East Germany, that's a very good example of where these people want Western society to be heading. There, if you talk to anybody who was in that period, the children were taken away from families and put into institutionalized daycare. Does this sound familiar? Every day, and only allowed back to their parents at the weekend when the parents weren't working. And so the state educated the children in whatever propaganda and brainwashing it wanted. So all of these things are being attempted and in many ways being successful. So what happened was, when these people started to get control, they repealed these remedies, these lawful remedies that were there to protect society and protect children and protect the innocent spouse. All of them went. And then we had this ridiculous period of time when it was considered to be hateful if you were judgmental. Now, judgmental means, insisting that things are done right, things are done properly, according to law and the rules of society. But as part of that wave of feminism, it was considered that, you know, men were judgmental and some laws were judgmental, and therefore they had to go. So the so-called Family Law Reform Acts that started in the 60s, they are all non-judgmental. And basically, they then stopped being law at all, because clearly, you know, judgmental includes a judge deciding on whether somebody's complaint or claim is right or wrong. But if you're going to be non-judgmental, what's the point of having a judge? And the point is that in a family law court, the judge does not operate as a judge at all. In Ireland, the rules are quite explicit. It says that the robes that a judge wears to denote him as a judge, he has to actually take those off when he's dealing with family law. So he's not a judge. And the application in law, it's all about honour. The complainant must make a claim on honour. That means sworn on. They have to provide sworn information in the form of an affidavit, usually. And they are claiming that the defendant has dishonoured themselves by not honouring an arrangement that they consented to. So in family law, and that used to be the same in family law, to get a order for the restitution of your conjugal rights, you would have to put in an affidavit setting out in there on sworn evidence how the other spouse had deserted their position and their duties in the family, either by adultery or desertion or a mixture of the two. Now, if you look carefully at the rules, you will find that no longer does any application under family law require there to be any sworn evidence whatsoever. So it's not done on honour. It's not done before a judge. There's no claim of wrongdoing that the other spouse has to defend themselves against. So they're not even called a defendant, because they're not there to defend anything. They're actually called a respondent, which, you know, if you look that up in the dictionary, that means you're there to support the application. Now, that is one of the best kept secrets in the world, that you're there to support the application, because most people believe, because that's the meme that goes around, and that's the thrust from the letter sent by the solicitors with the notice of the application or summons, that they're there to defend their honour. But they're never provided with a copy of the sworn evidence that is going to be before the court, because there isn't going to be any sworn evidence before the court. The court isn't going to be hearing any sworn evidence. It may go through some piece of theatre where the parties go into the witness box and swear an oath, but none of that is in the court records, so therefore it doesn't exist. that there has to be evidence in the court records before the court is allowed to put on that show. And there isn't any. Without it, whatever goes on in there, where there isn't a judge who's going to make a finding one way or the other, it literally is just a piece of theatre, and it's a farce. And the idea is it's mock justice. And the idea is simply just to get both the spouses in there, and then it's treated as if it's some sort of mediation, and, you know, the judge is there to act as some sort of glorified mediator to come out with whatever solution he thinks is best for the family. Okay, one second.
Yeah, that's fine. There was another thing to add on to that regarding the courts. That is fine, because that was all in episode two, what you said.
Just wanted to recap that.
Yeah, they try and obviously get the family to agree in court, like you've just said.
Not to agree. They don't realise they're agreeing. They think they're fighting out this tooth and nail, but they're not, because there's nothing to fight over, because there's no claim.
Well, what happens in the cases then of forced adoptions? That's slightly different to what the institute deals with, but
the Child Care Act in Ireland, it's called the Child Care Act. Okay, that's considered to be under family law, and it's exactly the same. There is no sworn evidence before the court that the parents have to answer. Okay, nothing. Okay, it's all done by innuendo. The social workers, you know, set up these mock child protection conferences, again, without any sworn evidence around. And, you know, there's a lot of nonsense and lies and rubbish talked at these things. And then the social worker will come out at the end of that and say, abuse confirmed. Now, they don't have any authority whatsoever to confirm whether a rice pudding's got a crust on it or not. They have nothing to do with it. And then they make an application to court for a temporary care order or a care order or anything, again, without any sworn evidence being provided. And you're not there. If you look at the documentation at the summons or the notice that you're given, you're not there as a defendant. And if you're not there as a defendant, there's nothing to defend. You shouldn't be there at all. Because by going along there, you're actually doing them a great favour, because you then observe all this stuff. And basically, at the end of the day, you might disagree while you're there, but by the end of the day, you're not disagreeing anymore. You're walking out the door. You may be very disappointed, very upset, very angry, but you're walking out the door. So as far as everybody's concerned, that matter has been sorted out, and you have accepted what they've done to your children. Okay? Now, the only way that those laws could lawfully work, like, you know, in the UK, the Children Act is in two parts. The first part is the private law aspect of that, which is just mediation between the two spouses. The second part of that is the public law aspect of that act, and that's to do with the state getting involved and taking, you know, children into care where the parents are negligent or abusive, okay? Now, negligence and abuse of a child, that is a crime, okay? And the only way that a person can be found to be negligent or abusive is where they have been found guilty of a crime. That cannot be done in a civil court, especially one where the public are excluded. because justice must be seen to be done. Okay? What has to happen is there has to be a criminal prosecution of the parents. They have to be have been found that they have neglected the child criminally or abused the child criminally, and then and only then can the state then apply for a care order against that child. Because a person has a right to their liberty and to their property, and the child is their property, and the child has rights to belong to that family. And the state, in making a care order, is absolutely violating those. And the state doesn't have any right to do that. Only the people do. And the people are the ones that do the criminal prosecution. If the people find in a criminal prosecution that somebody has has acted so badly and done things that are forbidden by the people, then and only then can the people then take away some of the liberty rights and property rights of those family and those children.
Yeah, Roger, another question. I've got the idea now that you kind of don't engage with them by turning up is a wrong thing to do, but how do you still, in either situation, fight this? Is it like, you know, through the affidavits of truth and...
No, because you're going into a situation where they're not interested. They won't ever look at them. The rules do not require any affidavits of honour. You know, an affidavit is just honour. Everything has to be under God, okay? There's no system that works and it's not under God, because God makes sure that everything that's done is objective rather than subjective, okay? When it's man-made, it's subjective. Where we're talking about God and God's law, that's objective. That man can't change that. That's not possible to do that. And that's the only objective test there is. So where you go in and you swear an oath, you're swearing it under God. And perjury is where you have sworn something under God and it turns out to be that you purposely lied. The penalties for perjury are rank second only to murder. That's how important it is. So what they did with family law, they purposely got rid of the sworn evidence that you needed to put in there, because otherwise everybody, you know, the idea is that anybody who wants out of their marriage can just get out, right, whenever they want. And if they had to put in a sworn affidavit, 99% of the time, they would have to perjure themselves. So they did away with the sworn evidence under God and allowed people to perjure themselves as much as they want. Okay? And then the court, there's nothing, the court's not interested, the civil court is not interested in perjury because there isn't any sworn evidence before it. Okay? So the only way forward is to treat this as it's supposed to be treated, and that is that it's a crime. Under Section 246 of the Children Act in Ireland, it sets out that, you know, that neglect and abuse of a child, that's a crime. Now, where a person, one of the spouses, removes the children from the family home, let's just take that example first, removes the children from the family home, they are in desertion and they are also abusing the children and neglecting their welfare. It says it quite clearly that a person who causes a child to be neglected is guilty of a crime. And clearly, where the child is not getting the love, care, affection, education and protection of one of its spouses, that spouse is neglecting the child, because that's its duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They are actually neglecting it. And the person that is causing that neglect is committing a crime. So that's what people do, is they report to the Gardaí or the police force a crime. Okay? And they insist that that crime is properly investigated and arrested. Because that's a crime, you know, obviously against the children. And we're all, everybody, the state is always telling us that they're so concerned about children, aren't they? So where there's a crime against children, they surely must step in and do something. Now, the other situation is where one of the spouses is kicked out of the house by the other spouse without just cause. That is a crime as well. A person, where a person is kept out of their family home, the person who does it is committing a crime. So, again, that's what one does. One doesn't, you know, there's so many memes going around and people, especially husbands and fathers, are being told that the best thing for them to do is to calm things down by leaving the family home. Once they've done that voluntarily, they are in desertion. And the wife, the other side, will use that to their fullest benefit. Okay? So you do not abandon your children. Okay? You just hang in there, right? Whatever nastiness is being done to you, you do your best to avoid it, but you do not abandon your children and let them be at the mercy 100% of the other parent. Because if the other parent is doing that to you, that means that parent has got no real love whatsoever for the children. Because if they loved the children, they would know and do everything they can to make sure that the children had two parents in their lives to support them and look after them, and they're doing the opposite. That parent, totally selfish. And the law is quite clear that a selfish parent is a bad parent and should never, ever have the custody of children on their own, because that will always end up the children being neglected and abused.
Yeah, that covers that very, very good. But what about the cases with the social workers? I know we've got 90 seconds, but we can extend this for another 10 minutes after she's spoken again. I think she speaks again at 1 minute and 10 seconds.
Yeah, no problem.
But where the social worker comes in, and neither parent has really done anything greatly wrong, or if there has, you know, it's been minor.
Yeah. The social worker's not even allowed in the door, let alone. How did the state is not, you know, I explained that right at the beginning, is that the king's writ doesn't run to the family home. So how did the state get in? You see, it's all by trickery. They trick their way in. They seek out the weakest member of the family, and then they target that member of the family to either be frightened into doing their will, or to basically seek their, you know, to sort of like be their friend, so that they then take the side of that parent against the other parent. They're just exploiting weakness. It's just, you know, divide and rule. That's what they do.
Well, actually, in my particular case, they tried that on both of us, and we was very clever. We didn't know at the time what was going on, but for some reason, instinct told us there's something not right. Now, it did all end in tears in the end, because we weren't that clever. And because we did engage with them, I think that's why we lost, because we're kind of giving them permission, wasn't we, to investigate us when we've done nothing wrong. And then once they tell a judge this, a judge, you know, he has no care in the world but to just stamp things.
Yeah, well, you see, all you have to keep asking is, you know, do you have a warrant? Okay? Do you have a warrant to come round here? Do you have a warrant to come into my house? You need a warrant. They need a warrant. And that's got to be based, if they do get a warrant, to apply for a warrant, they have to put in a sworn information. Okay? That's like an affidavit. But it's one that's used in criminal matters. And in that sworn information, they will have to state there in black and white what criminal matters you have done. Okay? And they won't be able to do that because you haven't done any. If you did any criminal matters, they would have to prosecute you criminally. And then they would have to prove that you did something, some crime, beyond reasonable doubt, and with what's called mens rea. That's a Latin phrase, M-E-N-S, new word, R-E-A. And that means that you did it with a criminal mind, i.e. you knew that what you were doing was a crime, and yet you carried on doing it recklessly. Okay? That's what they'd have to prove. And until they can prove that, you can tell them to bugger off.
It's very difficult in some cases because...
It's impossible. It's impossible, Andrew. I may sound as if I'm saying this is so simple, all you do is this. I understand. These people are professional thugs, okay? And they're professional, you know, actors. And they've been doing this for donkey's years. So they've got all the scams you could imagine. The only hope for anybody is that they get some support from a group, you know, like the Institute for Family and Marriage, where we just explain to people what is going on and what the law says and what their rights are. If you go talking to a solicitor, you know, you're not going to find, he's not going to give you any of that. He's going to get you to do whatever the state wants you to do, because the solicitor gets his money by working with the state, not against it, with it. So he's never going to do anything that's going to show the state up for acting criminally, which is what they invariably do. You know?
So what we need really then is, Roger, obviously this institute is in Ireland. What we need is all the people like yourself, that like-minded throughout the country, form some kind of database of warning parents before it actually happens.
Absolutely, absolutely. Everybody should know, you know, the first thing is, you know, as Ronald Reagan said, you know, the most chilling words that anybody could ever hear are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Okay? That is the complete opposite, right? Those people, the government has no right to be in anybody's life, and that's the message that needs to get out there, is that people have a right to their privacy, they have a right to bring the children up according to however they want, as long as they're not committing a crime against their child. You know, if a family decide that, you know, cabbage is like the best thing for children to eat and to go for a 5-mile run every morning, so what? Who cares whether the social worker doesn't like cabbage and thinks that that might be a bit hard on the children? So what? There is no right and wrong way of living, and except if you commit a crime, and there's no right or wrong way of a parent to bring up children. Because who's to know, you know, in the next generation, where there are children who've been taken for a 5 mile run in the morning, they might be the only ones to survive. You know, ones that have been given cabbage all their lives might be the only ones to survive some sort of flu or plague or something. Who knows? You know, and all this stuff about social workers who invariably don't have any children because they don't want any children because they're very selfish people. They, what are they? They can't tell you how to parent. What have they got to? They can just piss off, you know. And unless, you know, the only people that can come and knock on your door is a policeman with a warrant to enter the premises and arrest you. Nobody else can come near your door and demand entry. No one. Doesn't matter what bits of paper they might have, if they haven't got that, if they haven't got a warrant with a sworn information setting out what crime, what things you've done which were forbidden by the people. You know, the people don't forbid somebody having, you know, an idiosyncratic lifestyle, do they? They only forbid crimes. You know, who's to say whether what you're doing with your child is good or bad?
Yeah, in our case, we was moving around the country too much, and according to them, you know, because we were getting second and third opinions on disabilities, which was all proven later on that the children had, they said, you know, we were trying to avoid medical intervention, you know, in the treatment, and that we had Munchausen's. I mean, they try every trick in the book, and I think if we can warn people, it's got to be our only weapon for the family.
It is. It is. The people need to be. People need to know that the state is up to no good. Okay, the state is doing everything it can. It's becoming more and more totalitarian by the hour. Okay, and it's doing everything it can to interfere and take over every family in the country. Okay, and they are just the next one on the list. People mustn't take it personally that this is actually anything to do with them. Okay, that's the most important thing of all. This has got nothing to do with them. They are not interested in your children, in your particular circumstances. They don't need any, according to them. Okay, they don't need there to be anything criminal going on, and therefore, you know, all of us are potential, you know, clients for them, regardless of what you do. You know, they claim some parents are too good a parent. Okay, they're trying too hard. Now, have you heard anything as nonsensical as that? And some of them are too Christian in their belief system. What planet are these people from? They're completely mad. They just say anything that comes into their mouth, and they're allowed to get away with it. And we must stop people from letting them get away with it. Okay, so look, we'll carry on again, and we'll talk again the next time about more specifically, you know, what these applications to court are supposed to be for, and, you know, how people should deal with them when they arrive.
Okay, then we'll do court applications tomorrow then, or the next segment, because life crops up in the middle. But
yeah,
for Andy, Peter and Roger, this has been episode 3 of the Institute of Family and Marriage.